Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to Mornings at the Mansion, Men's Edition. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for tuning in. Welcome. Ed Swanson and Bobby McCann this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Facebook. Welcome to Mornings at the Mansion, Men's Edition. 19th of October, right? Yeah. October 19th, 2020.
Good morning.
Yeah, all right. Go pick out your Halloween costume. All right. I'm real excited today about the topic. We're going to be talking today. The name of the show is Renounce the World and Receive the Kingdom. And we've been talking about, money and your heart condition the last couple of weeks. And this is just another, extension of this teaching.
Yeah.
And we're excited about it. Right?
Yeah.
You know, we gotta be willing to save the world and to save the things that don't really matter to us. If we're devoted to God, we need to stay devoted to God. And God, a lot of people focus on the money, but we need to, and the temporal things, but we really need to look at the eternal things. And those are the true blessings and the true wealth.
Yeah. You know, I thought sometimes, even with myself, is, what do we really believe? You know, do we really believe this life is but a vapor, and then we're going to spend eternity? Eternity is forever. And, what do we really believe? Because sometimes the way we act like this life is everything. You know, and then we do everything for this life, and we press on to this life. But, Jesus said it like this: what good is it for a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?
Well, yeah, we read that scripture last week, and I guess it was in Luke or Matthew when he said, the guy got all this extra grain. He built an extra storehouse. He's preparing for if he's going to live 1,000 years. But God said, I will take your soul tonight. Now what? Basically. So we have to have a fair balance. We have to recognize that we are in this world and we have an assignment. But we also got to realize that this is not our home. We have a greater place and a greater purpose God has for us going through into eternity. So we definitely have to be able to balance, but we need to focus and really go after the things that will last forever.
Yeah.
The eternal glory of God and his blessing. And, you can drive a nice car. You're going to want a new one in 3-4 years anyway. You're going to have a nice new house. But guess what? You're going to eventually knock it down and build another house. Everything comes and goes. Everything comes and passes. But the things of God are eternal.
Amen.
And they will stay with us from this day that we finally receive them. So the day that, going into, our new eternity.
Yeah, the only way we can get eternity in our heart and to focus our mind on the things of God is by his word. His word, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith is trust. And the only way we're going to trust in God instead of trusting in this world is through his word.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have to believe in what God's doing and trying to do in our lives. And we have to also let God have his way, too. We have to open up and allow God to move us, especially if we're not walking in the right direction. And God's okay with that. He doesn't, we make mistakes. He forgives us, sin, whatever. But once we come to realize that God's trying to do something, even though we made a mistake, it's never too late to turn back and let God get you going in the right direction and walking according to his purpose for your life.
Yeah, and I love the scripture that says that we're holy, blameless, and above reproach in God's sight. And then it goes on and says, if we continue in the faith. And what you just said is, we make mistakes, but if we continue in the faith, if we continue to seek God, he's going to lead us in the direction we need to go.
Amen.
And that's the thing, when you make a mistake, hey, so what? As long as you're seeking God before anything else, all these other things are going to happen.
Oh, yeah, just like with the GPS. You made the wrong turn, you missed the turn, it says reroute. You don't just miss the turn and say, forget it, I'm not going there. The destination is destination. The thing is, God, and the destination with all of us, God already has it planned out. We just might not get there as quick if we make a wrong turn.
Yeah, and a lot of times when that GPS, if you make the wrong turn, the GPS reroutes you, and then all of a sudden you say, I know how to get there. And you want to do it your way instead of God's way. We need to let him lead us. What's up, Stick?
You might get there.
How you doing, brother?
Good morning, brother.
Good morning. That's right.
Good morning, Sonia.
Good morning.
Hillary Glover, Danny Wood.
Woo!
Come on.
All right.
You want to pray, please?
Yeah. Father, thank you, Lord. We just thank you again to get to share your word. What a privilege and an honor, Lord. And we just thank you for it, Lord. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Have your way in the show. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in everything we do. Speak through us, Lord, and just soften our hearts so we can receive the meekness here in the planted word, Lord. We love you. We thank you. And we ask right now for anybody out there listening, Lord, that you just, if your word goes to their heart and chisels it like a hammer, Lord. We just thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. And I recommend that anyone listening, if you can, just grab a pen to paper. You need to write these scriptures down.
And the Bible.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. This is serious stuff we're going to discuss today. This is truly about your character and what you're going after, and what you go after is going to lead you to your destiny. So we need to know this. So when it's off in Jeremiah, now everyone knows this, not everyone, but I went back a couple of verses. I'm going to read it from verse 3 in chapter 17. And there's a reason why I'm doing this, but let me start off. O Jerusalem, my mountain is in the countryside, and I'll give to the Babylonians the cost of your sin, your wealth, and your treasure as plunder. And throughout your territory, your high places of sin. And you will, through your own fault, let go of your inheritance that I've given you. And I will make you serve your enemies in a land which you do not know, for you have kindled my fire in my anger, which will burn forever. Now, I just want to stop there for a quick second, because this is a situation where God blessed the Israelites, and they just did not follow. We're talking about treasures. This is physical, material things that God has given them, okay? But their heart turned from God, so God said, I will send somebody, they will conquer you, and you, through your own fault, you will let go of your inheritance that I gave you, okay? Then you will serve your enemies. So just as in John 8:35, you know, a son is a permanent resident of the household, but a slave is not. So God, if I believe that God is saying, look, I can't even consider you my children anymore because you really turned against me. I've given you what you're taking it. You did nothing good with it. And now I'm going to send the enemies in, the heathen. It was the Amorites or something, right? They were standing in to get them. They were going to become slaves to a Gentile. And this is what God done. So here's the thing. We could be walking in God, but we got to be good stewards of the things God's given us. Okay? It's a material blessing. But our hearts can never turn from God. We got to always stay faithful to God. But here's what it says in the next verse. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts and relies on mankind, making flesh his strength, and those whose mind and heart turn away from the Lord. For he will be like a shrub in the desert, and he will not see prosperity when it comes. But he shall live in the rocky place of the wilderness and the uninhibited salt land. Now blessed is the man who believes and trusts and relies in the Lord, and whose hope and confident expectations is in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out his roots by the river, and will not fear when he comes, but his leaves will be green and moist. And he will never be anxious and concerned in the year of the drought, nor stop bearing fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and extremely sick. Who can fully understand it and know its secret motives? But the Lord says, I search the heart, I examine the mind, and I test the heart, to give each man according to his ways and according to the results of his deeds. So I've read this one a million times. Well, I don't know about a million, but I've read this enough, these verses. But this time when I read it, it showed me something different. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. Cursed is the man who relies on mankind. The first word man is devil. That's a strong man. The second word mankind is Adam in the Hebrew. And that's the not just mankind, but the way of man, okay, the man's ways. So he's saying, you're a strong man. I made you strong. But if you trust in the way of the flesh, you're not going to make it, you know?
Yeah, I like what it says, how, you know, when it says that it will not see when good comes. And what happens is when we're focused on the things of this world, we won't even see when the blessing of God is trying to overtake us. The Bible says that the blessings of God that if we're his children, the blessings of God are going to chase us down and they will overtake us. But this says right here, if you're trusting in mankind, if you're trusting in the world system, and if you're trusting in money, if you're trusting in all that, the doctors, and I'm not saying doctors are bad, but you know, you're trusting in that instead of in God, you're going to miss when you're not even going to see when the good comes. You're not even going to see when the blessing of God comes. And then it goes on and says that if you are putting your trust and your hope and your confident expectation in the Lord, that you will not even see when the bad comes. You won't see when heat comes. You won't even notice when the pressure's coming on you. It'll be like water off a duck's back.
Yeah, again, you know, with the man who trusts, you know, in himself and his strength, what we trust will definitely define our character and it'll lead us to our eternity. What are we trusting in? That's the big picture. Are we trusting in God to give us the things that we need to serve him, or we trust in man in our own flesh to go out there and develop this without his plan on our own accord? Because that's not going to work right. And you might get, you know, a little bit out of the box, you might make a strong start, but I'm sure that here it is. Here it says, if you trust in God, you will constantly bear fruit, constantly. You know, that's what we're looking for, to bear fruit.
And you know what it is you have a you start having a love for the things of this world. Verse 1 and 2 says that they couldn't renounce the world because they were counting on the heathen altars and the goddess of the heathens, and that they earnestly remembered them. And it reminds me of Lot's wife. When God got Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife turned around, and she was thinking about what she's going to be missing out on by leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm telling you, when you think about the world like that, man, I mean, you will be like a shrub in the desert.
Oh, yeah. And here it is. What you'll be like the shrub in the desert, and you shall not see prosperity when it comes. See, that word in the Jewish, it's a lot more than you think. It's pleasant. It's a pleasant higher nature. This is the prosperity that the Jewish root text describes. It's not money and gold per se. It's more than that. It's a good understanding or better in comparison or prosperous above a man's sensual nature. Okay? And that's what caught my attention. Prosperous above a man's sensual nature. Remember it said that you could, the two words, the curses of man, Gerber, that relies on mankind, Adam. Adam is that sensual nature. That's the word that actually describes the fallen man, basically, the sensual nature. So God is saying, if you trust in me and not these material things, I will give you a new nature. I will give you a new nature. I will give you a new way. I will show you the way to go. Stop struggling. Because here it is. Who? It says, the heart's deceitful above all things, extremely sick. Who can understand and know its secret motive? This is a question proposed to us. It's not, you can't, it doesn't say you can't know it or fully understand it. It says, who? God is asking us, who? Can you? Because the only way you're going to understand it is if you stick with me. I will reveal these things to you. God, you know, he proposes to us this question. Then he answers it. The next verse, I search the mind and examine the mind and test the heart. God answers that question because he's going to search our mind and our secret motive. And then if we're close to him, he's going to reveal it to us so we can work it out, right?
What do you think? Oh, yeah. And the thing is, you cannot serve two masters. And it's like we started out talking about when we seek the things of God, and we you know, God knows that we're not perfect, but when we're seeking the things of God, he is going to direct us. He will show us. He'll put eternity in our heart. That's the first thing that has to happen. Yeah. You have to have eternity in your heart. Because I want to read the definition. The title is Renounce the World and Receive the Kingdom. I looked up the word renounce. Sometimes the Lord will just have me look up a word, the definition of it. And the definition of renounce is to refuse to follow, obey, or recognize any further. So when we refuse to follow the world, when we refuse to obey the world, and we refuse to recognize the world any further, As our master, Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other, or despise one and be loyal to the other. You cannot serve the world and serve God. You cannot receive the kingdom and serve the world. You cannot. So we have to make a decision. What side we're on. That's bottom line.
Well, again, we have to draw a line. And, you know, as we grow in the Lord,
we can't do it alone. We can't renounce anything without God. Especially this world. We can't resist the world and the system without God and his nature developing in us, his spirit leading us.
And we need to stay in constant fellowship. We need to continue in his ways, constantly seek him for his wisdom. And that's the only way, because this world system, let me tell you something, it's got a hold on the world. He deceives the whole world. The whole world is deceived until they come to the Lord. Who can understand the heart? God gives an opportunity to get to know him. We know the heart is tricky. We know that we can't understand it without God. And that word, fully understand, who can fully understand it? That word in Hebrew, understand, is yada. I don't know if maybe you heard this in Texas, but in New York, we go yada, yada, yada. All right? That's a Jewish, what we said in New York. When we say yada, 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 that means somebody's talking to babble and saying stuff that doesn't make sense. So basically, this word yada, and I've come to realize when I studied it, it's like you can't make sense of the heart. You have to allow God to get in there, clean it out, and lead you.
Yeah.
And even then, you got to keep that like that.
And it's like Jesus, when Jesus said, abide in me, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Jesus, he takes the heart of stone out. That's what God will do. He'll take that stony, stubborn heart out and put a heart of flesh, a pliable heart, and then our desires change as we abide in him and not this world.
Man,
that's how it works.
If he doesn't change your desires, you're in trouble. Because
yeah.
Here's the thing. Unless he takes away these wicked desires that have us in a stronghold, and we submit to them, and we're caught up in bondage by them, until he changes those ways, we're going to be stuck.
Yeah, the world system is demonic. And it's the world system. I mean, Jesus also said, look, he told the Father, he said, they're in this world, but not of this world. I'm not asking you to take them out of this world, but to keep them from the evil one, because the world system is evil. And so we can be in this world, but not of this world, as we're abiding in Jesus Christ.
I assure you, the world system, think of this world as you know, like the landmines, God. And the Lord allows us to be tested, I'm sure. We have to be careful. There's so many traps and pitfalls. And we need to be careful. The only way we can do this is by having a very strong relationship with the Lord. And the quicker we get into that relationship where we keep walking, he's growing us. Because here it is. I search and examine the mind, and I test the heart. That's two different things. Okay, the word heart and mind is two different words in Hebrew, so it's two different things. The mind and the heart. The motives come from the heart. The mind carries them out. Okay, so he will give us to each man according to his ways. So God wants us to trust him, let him expose the things in our heart that we need to work on. And as he's exposing them, we say, man, I can't believe I was doing that. Then we start giving it to him. He takes it, and then we keep moving. Then it says he'll give each man according to his ways. So God then, he can bless us, or we could curse ourselves by not listening to God. He wants us to reveal these things to us and work on them, and he wants to give us according to our ways. He wants to give us according to our ways and reward us or deeds, okay? He wants to give each man according to his ways, okay? So now we got to get on the right track, and God will then start blessing us, right? He doesn't want us to suffer. We're the ones that continue in our foolishness because we think we understand the heart.
Yeah, it's like this. It's when we understand that God's our Father, and, you know, Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father? I mean, if any father, wants the best for their children, and God is able, he's able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us, and he is a good Father. And it's like if you're a teenager and your earthly father said, look, I don't want you going with those guys on Friday night because they're going to be drinking and driving, and you go anyway and they have a wreck, and you know, whose fault is it? Your father told you not to. It's the same thing. God doesn't curse us. We are, if you're born again, you are redeemed from the curse. So what happens is when we get out from under his protection, the enemy comes in like a flood.
And here's the thing, like, you know, the first two, if you go to 3 and 4, God is saying, I've taken your stuff, and I'm not even considering your son anymore. Okay, but here, but God, what did he say? He administered a punishment, right, or a penalty on his children, but it wasn't really a punishment. He was trying to correct them, because as you can see, after he takes away their stuff and sends them into slavery, he says to him, he explains to him, look, curse the man who trusted himself. You guys are trusting in yourself, Israel. I can't do nothing for you, and you got me to the point now. I got to take stuff from you because you're not turning to me. Now I got to show you, and I got to show you how to humble yourself and turn to me. But it says, curse the man who relies on himself. But blessed is the man who believes and trusts in the Lord. So he's trying to teach that. And the quicker we learn, the quicker we get out of our mess. We pass the test, and God, he will lift us back up. He wants to restore us. But we got to, you know, get a hold of this stuff, right?
And we're not going to please him. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't trust him, it's impossible for us to please him. And what he wanted to be pleased with us, and all we have to do is trust him and understand that faith works by love. And we realize God loves us, and we believe that God loves us. And with the Israelites, what their biggest thing was unbelief. They didn't believe God. He got them out of bondage in Egypt. You know, he parted the Red Sea. He did all that, and they still didn't believe.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with us. I mean, I look back at my life, what he's done in my life. If I ever doubt him, it's no different than the Israelites.
Blessings and curses, right? You said choose. You know, there's life and death, blessings and curses. Choose. That's our choice. This is our choice. And it says, through your own fault, you let go of your inheritance that I gave you, God said. See, this is the point. God's given us inheritance. Inheritance is not when we die. People could consider inheritance with death. Yeah, but the inheritance comes from the person that died to the living. God gave us an inheritance through Jesus Christ who died for us. This is a time now where we start walking in the blessings. We don't got to wait to get to heaven to be blessed. God wants to bless us right now. He wants to equip us and arm us to battle this world and the enemy and lead other people out of it. We need to go in and get the prisoners of war. We should pull them out. God wants to give you so many things. He wants to give you that gold. He wants to give you that silver. He wants to give you those houses, those trucks, those cars. He wants to give you the stadiums, open the doors. He wants to do all this. But, man, who can he trust? Because sometimes we're flopping. And the deeper he takes you, your heart's got to be more turned to him. You have to be like, you got to truly renounce the world before God starts pouring some serious blessings on you, which is not for you, it's to bless others. Because he does not want to give you something that's going to cause you to stumble. So if some guy writes a $10 million check and says, go rent AT&T Stadium for a weekend revival, maybe that's enough, I don't know. But you might get your hands on that money and say, ooh, God, thank you, I'm going to take my 10%. And all of a sudden, now you're a millionaire. Now you fell off the path, and now you're cursing yourself. God will never curse you. We curse yourself. That's what it says, right? And through your own fault, you let go of the inheritance I gave you.
I don't know. It's when we look at the world and the world starts looking good to us. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. And I'm telling you, the devil's out there dangling that carrot. And if you keep looking at it, and you're not looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, when we're not looking at him and we're looking at this world, we will get off into that world. It's like I was telling you yesterday. I went to school at Southwest Texas, and they had a river running right through the campus. And the river would flow. It was a spring-fed river, and it would flow. And we would swim. Our baseball team would swim upstream for exercise. And if you quit swimming upstream, you would just float downstream. And that's what happens. You can get in the flow of this world easy. I mean, it's easy just to jump in the river and float. But you have to be intentional about the things of God. And when you're intentional about seeking him first, all these other things will happen in your life.
Man.
But you have to seek
him. It's way above discipline. It's all about faith. It starts off with faith, and we'll read that next week. It's about faith, man. They didn't have faith in God. They're saying, curse the man and trust in God. Trust in mankind. But blessed, every time you see that word blessed or blessed, take good study to the next words afterwards. Because when God says himself, blessed is the man who believes and trusts in me, you got to believe that, because that God, this is God speaking himself, okay, through the prophet Jeremiah. He said, blessed is the man who believes and trusts and relies on the Lord, me, okay? He's talking about God. Trust in me, God thinks of. So we know that God's given us a way out all the time. There's always a way out. God always gives us a way to come, an option to come back to him, regardless of the situation. So we got to be, just know what we've done wrong and turn. Turn back and seek him heartily. Run to him. Don't walk. Don't, wait for a ride. Just get up and run towards the Lord, and he will come and he will be waiting for you, it says, with open arms to restore you.
Since Sonia wrote, all I need is God, nothing but his love, and nothing else matters. It reminds me how when Jesus was all that I had, when everything else was gone, Jesus was all that I had, that's when I realized he was all I ever needed. And when we come to that place in our life where we understand that this world has nothing, and the face of this world, the Bible says, will grow strangely dim, and they don't have any pull on us anymore as long as we're looking unto Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's very rare and unusual that someone comes to God by committee or general consensus or general popular vote. You know what I mean? We come when we're broken. I mean, look, Jerusalem was, they were all of them together. There was probably thousands or millions, and God, they fortified their own lives to one another. They probably blasphemed God. They probably blasphemed what he was doing. But I bet there was at least one or two in that crowd that said, man, I had to walk away from everything and everything they were hearing through the general consensus populace of what their hearts were saying. And they probably received the Lord and turned back to
us. I mean, if you think about it, they received the promised land. It was Joshua and Caleb. That's it. I mean, everybody else was like, there's giants in that land. And they're like, but God told us to take it.
Yeah.
God's not going to tell you to take it if he's not going to give you a way to take it.
That's
and
right.
So Joshua and Caleb, man, they had that faith. And they said, look, I don't care what y'all are saying. It doesn't matter what giants are in there. God told us to take that land. That means it's our land. And when we get that kind of faith in us, the giants are going to fall. Just like they did with Joshua and Caleb. But Joshua and Caleb, out of all those, I don't know, like you said, millions of people, Joshua and Caleb and their family were the only ones that entered that promised land.
Exactly. See, that's the thing.
That's the kind of faith we need.
It's not the general consensus. It's not the popular vote. And most likely, more people are going to talk you out of it and talk you into it.
That's right.
I want to tell you something. You need to focus. That's
like
why God's given us 2 eyes, 2 ears. God is important. All hands on the wheel. It takes everything you got. And then God, you show up and God strengthens you. That's the thing. As weak as we can be, you submit to God and then he restores us and strengthens us.
And you can't even believe what's happening in your own life if it goes against the word of God. If you're sick and you don't get healed, that doesn't change God's word. The disconnect is not with God. Because his word is true, his word is higher than our ways. His word is not going to come back void. So if there's something like that, it's not God. It's some kind of disconnect with us and with what we really believe.
Yeah.
Because if we really believe, his word will not return void.
Well,
whatever it is.
Our circumstances will never change God's word, but
no.
God's word will absolutely change our circumstances.
Amen.
All through
yeah.
faith.
That's right.
Amen.
Sure.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're going to move on. I knew we were going to spend some time on the first one.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. They call this the Hall of Fame of Faith.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hebrews 11, starting verse 24, the Bible says, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. He kept his eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter. Look, Moses had a revelation of Christ, and it reminds me of Thomas, Doubting Thomas. When Jesus told him, Thomas, you believe because you see, but blessed are those who will believe in me that don't see.
Amen.
So Thomas, okay, Moses had a revelation of Christ. Thomas physically walked with Christ. But Jesus said, blessed are those, and that's talking about us, who have not seen but believe. Mm. We can renounce the world when we
Amen.
Walk by faith and not by sight.
Hallelujah.
Verse 28. Verse 28 says, it was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle the blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. And it's the same thing with us. I'm telling you, when he sees the blood, with the blood of Jesus, that was a picture. You know, the Bible says when the death angel came and he saw the blood, he passed over. And I'm telling you, when he sees the blood, he'll pass over. When he sees the blood of Jesus, he'll pass over. And when we renounce this world and receive the kingdom, we're going to see our enemies drown. Amen? We're going to see our enemies drown. Psalm 91 says, the thousand may fall at one side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us as long as we renounce the world and receive the kingdom.
This is like, you know, God gave the blessings and took them away. Here's the thing with Moses that I've noticed when you look at the Jeremiah 17, that it was on the flip side. With Moses, he was saved. His mother put him in a basket. He was raised by these Egyptians. He was raised by the Egyptians. He was raised in the palace of the greatest kingdom on earth at the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Full of material. I mean, you couldn't live better than in that palace. There was no better living on the earth than in that palace, raised as Pharaoh's grandson. But here's the thing. Moses saw it. He got that revelation. He got that revelation of Christ coming. We know that through the whole Passover, putting the blood on the doorpost. That was a shadow of things to come. But that was the thing that
didn't
shadow.
What it says right here, he thought it was better to suffer for
the sake of Christ.
He's never seen Christ. That was the revelation that he had of the Messiah.
Yeah.
And man.
Here's the thing. Moses, what he did is he renounced, truly renounced. Let me tell you something. That's the perfect example of what you read in the evidence. He truly renounced the Egyptian way, and he went, I mean, he got worn out of town. He left Egypt for a while because the stuff was going on, and I don't know, that's if you don't want to know about that, just watch the Ten Commandments. But here's the thing. Moses performed some of the greatest miracles ever recorded in the Bible outside of Jesus Christ walking. He was there. He performed some serious stuff, man. You know, Jesus walked on water, but Moses, you know, he lifted his staff by faith and the sea parted.
He did what God told him to. And it's the same thing with us. If Jesus said, go lay hands on the sick. Okay, that's all we have to do. It's not our job to heal the sick. He does that. The Holy Spirit does that. But when he tells us to lay hands on the sick, if we lay hands on the sick and somebody doesn't recover, we don't stop doing it. Moses, when God told him to lift that staff and the sea would part, if he wouldn't have lifted that staff, the sea would not have parted.
Ready? Those who trust in the Lord are blessed. Okay. Clear example. This is what we're reading this day. We want to show you an exact example of what Jeremiah was talking about. Hebrews. Here's the thing, man. He renounced the world. He got that revelation. His faith rose up. And believe me, it wasn't but through faith that he was able to forsake everything in the world. And again, and God, I mean, the sonship of Pharaoh, he's forsaken this physical kingdom for the invisible kingdom by faith. Don't you realize he's much greater where he is right now than if he stuck around and ran Egypt until he was 100 years old.
And you know, when I was reading what Jesus said about blessed are those who have not seen yet believe, think about Moses. Moses had a revelation of Jesus Christ. He didn't have an example like we do. So, man, I mean, I'm just wondering, and he's probably even more blessed because he believed on that revelation that hadn't even happened yet. We have an example through the Word of God of what Jesus did and who Jesus is. And then when he comes into our heart, we really know by the Holy Spirit revealing it to us. But, I mean, just think about that, man. Them Old Testament guys, I mean, they had it, you know, they had real faith.
They didn't even have a Bible to read, really. So here's the thing we should really, get a hold of. Moses thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. He was looking ahead to his great reward. This is the eternal reward, the inheritance of God that he gives us. But I'm telling you, who would do it? Not many people. You know, you got to forsake. Sometimes God puts a real big test on you, and by your faith, he gives you faith. Rise up, Moses, and know that I'm your father. I'm your father. He had to talk to a bush, right? I'm your father. Not that Pharaoh guy. As a matter of fact, I'm about to harden his heart to prove who I am. So get out there and do what I say, because you're my son. I'm calling you to lead this. And let me tell you something. It was by faith that Moses left Egypt. Okay, he had to think. Look, he wasn't fearing the king's anger, right? When he did this, okay, because we know you're going to go against the king. These guys didn't even have swords. I think he had grips because they were lucky. But here's the thing. He, by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is visible. Now, here's the thing. He kept his eyes on the one who is visible. We're not talking about the physical eye here, obviously. This is his spiritual eye. Because how can you keep your physical eyes on the one that's invisible? You got to keep your spiritual eyes on the invisible things of God. See, God gave us two hands, two eyes, two ears. And I don't know what this means, but here's the thing. Both eyes got to be focused on God. We can't keep one eye closed or one hand on the wheel. When faith rises up, it's like you got to put your focus, everything on God. Trust in Him. Yeah, you got to know what's going on around you. You don't want to walk in front of a train. You want to know what's going on, but you need to know what God is doing too. And you got to trust in the things you don't see. And then that's the only way you can bring them into the manifest and into the natural world. Moses saw the things in heaven. How do you think he knew to raise his staff? He took the blessings he saw in heaven. Jesus said, "I only see do what my Father shows me in heaven." Moses. Who would bang a rock and make it put out water? Okay, Moses saw these things in his spirit, and man, he had enough faith to bring him into reality, into the world.
That's how he pleases God. And here's the thing, if Moses would have been worldly, he would have stayed in the palace.
Ooh.
You know, he wouldn't have left to go make bricks and to be a slave. And that's the thing, but he had eternity in his heart.
Yeah.
He knew that this life wasn't the end of it. And that's what we have to believe. We have to realize this life is but a vapor, and that we're here today, gone tomorrow. So when we put all of our stock in what's happening in this life, we're missing it. And when we really get, it's like that saying, you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. But I'm telling you, if you're not heavenly minded, you're not going to be any earthly good. But when we're heavenly minded, when we get eternity in our heart, then we're going to be good for people on this earth.
God gives us work. God gives us two eyes, two ears, two hands, two feet. One hand is constantly reaching for the blessings of heaven, throwing the other hand with putting it on the earth. God is constantly reaching to the heavens with faith and bringing the healing manifest in the world. We have to have both eyes open, both ears open, 2 feet. 1 foot on the gas, 1 foot on the brake. A lot of us are putting 2 feet on the gas pedal and 2 feet on the brake. We need to balance ourselves. We got to know God wants to move us, and He don't give us much notice. He didn't give Jesus. How much notice do you think that Moses had when he got before that Red Sea that God was about to part? So the absolute truth faith, do or die faith, okay? The faith that you really got to trust in the Lord. And God's asking us, do we have that faith? When he said to who am I going to send? He says to Jeremiah, who will go for me? Who can I send? Okay, God's answering that question all day to us. Who can I send? Who has enough faith? Who's going to put focus on what I'm doing? Because I got my finger on a lot of things. You let me get my finger on it, but you won't let me put my hand on it. And until I put my hand on these things, you're not going to see the manifestation of the true power of my might. Because I could part the Red Sea with my pinky, God said, but when Moses, my servant, allowed me to put my hands all over him, I could move that sea. And I could part it, and we could go right through it. I mean, we need to let God in. We got to stop limiting Him. That's the only way we're going to get to the point where we bear much fruit constantly.
Out the world, and it's really just having an eternal perspective. Because here's the thing: it's like Pastor Mike in church yesterday. He said we're here to occupy, but the victory, the war has already been won, and we're here to occupy. And so, like you said, we're here to pull the prisoners of war from the enemy. And that's what we're here for. But when we get an eternal perspective and realize that we're going to another land.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're going to another land. And man, I'm telling you, when we do that, we can renounce the world, whatever riches there are, whatever palaces there are, we can renounce those and we can suffer for Christ. And the suffering that we do is nothing like what Jesus did. I mean, I'm telling you, the suffering what we do might be waking up early and spending time with the Lord, looking unto Jesus and not looking at the world. You know, maybe turning the TV off, you know, not looking at the world and looking unto Jesus. That's the suffering that we do in this life, in this country. And so, man, we don't have a whole lot of excuses.
Oh, yeah. Well, we use that false lies that we believe lives in the strongholds that God talks about in Corinthians 6, 4. We got to take down the strongholds. That take these thoughts captive. That's how it all starts. And here's the thing: these first two verses are great examples. This verse right here, we're going to talk about practical application and how to apply this into your life. Because this is what Paul wrote in Ephesians. We're going to go into chapter 3, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is how you get to the point where Moses got. Okay, Jesus says, "So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father." Of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would reveal within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods in your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Wow, that's a verse. Let me tell you something. Here it is. How did Moses have this power, might, faith? He will unveil it within you. So this is a prayer Paul prays for the Ephesian church. We pray right now that God will give you and unveil with you the unlimited power that he's given you, that his son died for you to have. Only through God can he reveal this to us. Okay? This is a true revelation from God. It's only going to happen when we plug into God. Okay? We can't get this revelation until God reveals it to us. We can't force his hand. It's only going to come through meditation, through prayer, you understanding your word, God will unveil this and reveal it to us. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. This is no different what happened with Moses. By his faith, he had revelation of the Christ himself, Jesus, of what, was it 2,000 years before he even showed up in the manifest in the flesh? So here it is. But your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. His love is the source and root of our life. Then you're going to be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude, the astounding love of Christ in all its dimensions, how deep and intimate and far-reaching is his love, how enduring and exclusive it is. This is endless love beyond measurement that transcends our own understanding. This extravagant love pours into you. You are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. The faith works by love. God fills you up. He completes you with his love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Okay, when you feel God's love and he pours love into your heart, it overflows into others. That's why God's love was shed so abroad on Moses that instead of just getting out of town and going, you know, and just saying, I'm done with this junk, being silent. So I'm going to go find a place. I'm going to get married. And I'm going to be a shepherd. No, that love forced him to go back and spurred him to go back to pull all the other Israelites out of there. And that's what he did. So never doubt God's mighty power or work in you and to accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. So now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church and every generation through Christ, and that we will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen. That's a prayer. How about that? I mean, you see the passion of it really goes at it, man. I mean, look at all those words. Powerful. First, it starts over humbly, right? So get a load of this. Humbly. How do you put humble with power, favor, empowered, all these things that they describe God's power. But we need to kneel humbly before God Moses knew that. It's the fear of God, the true reverence of God. Come to God with that heart that's open. You know he's God.
Yeah.
You know he's God. Now he's going to, boom, you're going to have to.
And see, Moses knew it because Moses knew God. And that's the thing you have to know. It'd be like if you were going to leave your children with someone, if you had to go somewhere, if you had to leave your children somewhere, you're not going to leave your children with someone you don't know. You're going to leave your children with someone that you know and trust. And it's the same thing. You have to trust God. And you can't trust God unless you know God and that you know that he loves you. And here's the thing, man. If you look at verse 14 in the New King James, it says, Paul said, for this reason. And the reason was that grace was given to Paul to preach to people that was different than him. And Paul had it, I mean, I'm telling you, like Moses. Moses was in the palace. Paul had it all compared to the world standards. And he counted it as dumb, the Bible says. He had everything that he could want. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I mean, he had it all according to the world standards. But I'm telling you, when he says, I counted all as dumb, he knew it because he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And that when you have that encounter with Jesus Christ, you will pass that point of no return, and the world can't sway you anymore. You will renounce the things of this world and receive the kingdom of God.
Ephesians 3, verse 14 and 16, you want to pray this. You know, pray that God will unveil this within you. And I pray that right now that you're watching. I pray that God will unveil his riches and glory, the limited riches and glory, and favor, okay? Until the strength floods your innermost, innermost being, okay? Here's the thing. Through love, God perfects us through his love, okay? And then once we're receiving his love, the only way we're going to receive his love is getting to know him, spending time with him. That's what gives us the power to do this. It's not for any other reason. It's a supernatural power that it speaks of. And never doubt it. Okay? Never doubt God's power to do and accomplish everything he's going to do in your life. It's through our submission. Humbly, I kneel before you. Humbly, let's kneel before God, because I'm going to tell you something. You humbly kneel before God now, or you will be forced.
Every
acknowledge.
And every time we'll confess Jesus Christ is Lord.
So you better get
it now.
You better do it now by your own accord, because you're going to do it eventually. Okay? And then it becomes a pleasure. The Lord showed up today, I would be on my knees saying, thank you, Jesus, because I know who I serve. We have to know who we serve. If we try to forsake the things in the world, rise up in faith, pray, get Lord, show me these things that these men speak of on this show. It's in his word. Know that Moses has done it for. He wants to do it more. The problem is, how many more people are going to have that type of faith? You know? So let's see how deeply and intimate and far-reaching God's love is. His endless love. That's beyond measurement. We can't even figure it out. It's beyond physical comprehension, ultimately, as well. So we got to reach for it through faith. That's the only way we can do it.
God says that, Paul said, I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches, and it's a supernatural strength, and it's his divine might and explosive power. You know, Peter says that his divine power gives us all things, and it's all him that gives it to us. It's a gift. You have to be born again to even be able to understand anything that we're talking about. But once you're born again, you're born from above. You're born of God's spirit. You become a child of God. He gives you that right and that power and that privilege to become his child. And when you become his child, his divine power gives you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the power. And in the King James, it says, the power that works in us. It gives us exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or imagine. Hallelujah.
It is. And here's the thing, we live in God in the natural. God's supernatural, and his blessings are supernatural. They matter. But here's the thing, which I want everyone to come to understand. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. And he will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. So he's going to do more than we expect. And I know that firsthand. I see it. I've seen it many times. Here's the thing. We don't live in God. We just trust God. I'm sure that Moses was like, what? When he raised that staff, what did you say, God? Raise my staff. Or what's going to happen? He caught in the spirit. Then all of a sudden, he listened to God. And before his very eyes. Him and what, over a million Jews were able to see the parting of the sea, and they had to escape from the Egyptians coming back after them. So, are you kidding me? So, look, God knows that you need to know that what you need, and he knows what it is. When we activate our faith, trust in him, he's going to do way more if we let him. If we just let him put a finger on what we're doing, you know what I mean, fill him in on the details that we've already planned out, that's what you're going to get. And you might have a little bit of fruit here and there. But God said, look, you stand ready. Let me work through you. Be just totally kneel humble before me. And I will love to show my power, my might, and my glory through you. Let me put my whole hand on it. Stop pushing me away. Let me get all over this, and you're going to see how much I can do. Because you can't imagine it in your natural mind with your mental capacity. I got more for you. And that's what we need to know. Let's just say, God, I kneel humble before you. Open up my spiritual eyes. Lord, I know I can't see everything that you want to do with me, but give me the patience, give me the understanding, and give me the faith and reveal this to me, Lord, and I submit to you. It's through our submission that God can really do some great things. And this world needs it bad. God's not short of miracle power. He's short of people that could fully trust him and allow him to work through an abundant faith, you know?
Yeah, you have to know it. That's the key. So you have to know Jesus. I mean, there's going to be people who come and say, Lord, didn't we do this? And didn't we do that? Even in Moses' day, the magicians tried to mimic what Moses was doing. Janus and Jambres, I don't know if I'm pronouncing their names right, but they were the magicians for Pharaoh, and they were turning the wood into a snake and all that, this, that, and the other. But I'm telling you, if you don't know him, you have to get in his word to know him. You have to. If you're spirit-filled, you're going to have a hunger and a thirst for the word of God. And so you have to make sure that you know him. Otherwise, you're going to be deceived by the world. We have to renounce the things of this world, and that's when we can receive the kingdom of God.
Yeah. All right.
We're going to go to Colossians chapter 3.
Yeah.
Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we're a new creation. The old life is dead. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. We renounce this world and we receive his kingdom when we know that it's all about God, all about the things of God. The things of this world are going to go strangely dim when we seek the things of God because he changes our desires. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death. Therefore, renounce your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in it. When you were in the world, when you were following the world's ways, but now you're not. Now that you're in Christ, you renounce the world and receive the kingdom. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man, since you have renounced the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, received the kingdom, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We renounce this world, receive the kingdom, and it's like we said before, Jesus said, what good is it if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? It doesn't matter if you gain everything in this world. We talked about Robert Williams a couple of weeks ago, man, and I'm telling you, the guy had it all. Everybody loved him. He was rich. He was famous. All that, but he killed himself. He was empty. The world's going to keep you empty. The world will definitely keep you empty, but when you receive the kingdom, you'll be full, and then you can continue filling yourself up and giving out. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like it.
Oh, yeah. So when it says, therefore, if, remember, if is a big word in the Bible. There's always a decision to be made.
If you have been raised with Christ, if, how are you raised with Christ? You accept him in your heart. Okay, if then he says, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above. So set your heart on the things above, okay? So here's the thing. Receive Christ and continue to walk in it and seeking him. We receive Christ and we stop. We think we passed the finish line. That's the pop. The starting gun just sounded the moment you receive him, okay? We got to stay focused where Christ is seated. Where is Christ seated? In the heavenly places. So it's just continue to keep seeking Christ in the heavenly places. This is a natural, not a natural seeking. It's a spiritual seeking. So we have to tune in, is what it's saying here, to our spiritual senses. If you receive Christ, start fine-tuning your spiritual senses, is what Paul is writing to the church of Colossians. He wants you to start, set your mind and stay focused habitually on the things above. So he's saying habitually is a habit. Stay focused on the things above. Focus means focus. It doesn't mean that every so often glance at it. No, stay focused. God wants to use you in a mighty way. He wants to use all of us in a mighty way. But we need to stay focused habitually on the things above, not on the things of this earth. So he says, stay focused on the things of heaven and not on the things that are given to us in plain English or in Greek back then.
You know, when you said habitually, understand this. You can have a good habit just like you can have a bad habit. And religion and people will call it religious or legalistic, but you can have a habit of seeking God every morning, every day. You can have a habit of that, and it's a good habit. Habitually seeking things that are above. Amen.
No two ways about it. Yeah, I mean, there's no two ways about it. It's a plain English shit. Just do it. Right? Like, you know, one of those big sneaker companies said, just do it, right? Just do it. So here's the thing. Set your mind and stay focused on things above, because if you're going to stay focused on things on earth, these are temporal things. They're going to fade away. God said, I got a real life for you. Instead. But you died to this world. You're in this world, but not of this world. You died this world. Now the new nature comes in you. God is in you. Now focus on the things of heaven, and then you'll start realizing. You say, well, Eddie, I've been born again. They told me, they lay hands on me. I said this prayer. Now that spirit is in you. What the Bible says, now acknowledge the spirit. It's in you. We got to acknowledge the things God gives us. It's a little quiet, still voice. The world is blaring. The devil's got a megaphone, and he's blasting in your ear the things of this world. But God's voice is still. We need to, again, we have focus. He wants to speak to us every day. He's trying to. But until we start focusing on things, his things, we're not going to hear his voice. We need to know that he wants to work through us. He gave us his son to die so we could live. He doesn't want to take us halfway. He wants to take us all the fullness of God,
man,
that comes through us as we search and seek him. He wants to continually renew us in the knowledge of his son, the image of him who created us. He wants to keep renewing us. It says continually. It's obviously it's not a one-time event. It's a lifestyle. It's a continuing thing that we focus and follow and walk in. The moment we disconnect, we fall off.
And here's the reason that he wants to do this in us, because you're not born. You're not saved to just sit in church on Sunday and do whatever and live with the world the rest of the week. Because in 2 Corinthians, like we just said, when we're born again, when anyone is of Christ, they're a new creation. The old life is dead. Behold, all things have become new now. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, given you, if you're born again, the ministry of reconciliation. You are a minister. You have a ministry. Not to fill in and hold it in, but to fill up and to give out. Freely, Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. That's what it's for. But if you're not born again, the Bible says that when you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Humbly get on your knees and cry out to the Lord and repent. Repent and renounce is pretty close to the same thing. Repent, turn from the ways of this world, and turn to the things of God and watch what he does in your life.
Amen. Just know that God's got a plan for you. Again, we're not saved by works, okay, or a conduct. There's nothing we can do before or against what the grace God's given us. But you know, our service and conduct can't earn our salvation, but they are a result of our salvation. So we know this. This is the result of our salvation. Walking worthy of your calling. God's got a plan. Thank you for listening to our radio, Jesus Christ.
God bless
you. Contact us on Facebook. And we're talking Bobby McCann. Thank you for listening. Yes.
Share the media.
Yeah. And Facebook, thank you for watching. Again, just know God's got a beautiful plan for your life. It's exceedingly above and beyond your wildest imagination. But we need to.